Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Socialism, an Economic and Sociological Analysis, is Ludwig von Mises's major critique of socialist thought and one of the classic texts of Austrian economics. First published in the early 1920s and later expanded. The book examines socialism not as a moral slogan, but as an economic system that must be judged by how it coordinates production, allocates resources, and guides human action. Its central concern is the impossibility of rational economic calculation under central planning, since market prices for capital goods emerge only through private ownership and exchange. But the book goes beyond that famous argument. It also studies the social and political assumptions behind collectivism, including its views on equality, monopoly, labor policy, nationalism, and intervention. Mises writes as both economist and social theorist, linking institutional design to broader consequences for freedom, prosperity, and civil order. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why central planning cannot replace market prices. The best-known argument in the book is that socialism cannot perform rational economic calculation. Mises does not simply claim that planners may make mistakes. He argues that they lack the very tool needed to compare alternative uses of scarce resources. In a market economy, prices for capital goods and producer goods emerge from voluntary exchange and make it possible to compare costs, profits, and losses. Under socialism, where those goods are not bought and sold on open markets, those price signals do not exist in a meaningful form. As a result, planners may know their objectives, but cannot know whether a given plan uses resources well or wastes them. This is the book's core mechanism. Economic coordination depends on decentralized information embodied in prices, not on administrative intention. Mises, therefore, treats socialism as structurally unable to match the informational function of the market. Especially in a complex industrial economy where production chains are wide, technical choices are many, and trade-offs are constant. Secondly, capitalism as a system of consumer direction and economic democracy. Mises defends capitalism not mainly as a reward for the rich, but as a system in which consumer choice governs production. In his account, businesses retain wealth only if they continue to satisfy buyers, so capital is held conditionally rather than permanently by force. This is why he calls capitalism a form of economic democracy. Votes are cast through purchases, and firms lose influence when they fail to serve the public. That claim also shapes his discussion of inequality. Unequal outcomes are not treated as proof of exploitation or monopoly by default. They are often the result of successful service, thrift, and entrepreneurship. The relevant question is whether wealth is maintained through market performance or through privilege protected from competition. Mises uses this framework to challenge the socialist view that concentration of wealth necessarily reflects systemic abuse. He argues that in a functioning market, consumer sovereignty disciplines producers and limits durable wealth to those who continuously meet demand. Thirdly, the critique of monopoly, inequality, and the socialist diagnosis of capitalism. Another important theme is Mises's rejection of the idea that free markets naturally drift toward monopoly and structural oppression. He argues that monopoly is often exaggerated as a general explanation for market outcomes, and that competitive pressures remain central in a market order. This matters because socialist reform proposals frequently rest on the assumption that capitalism is unstable, concentrated, or prone to abuse unless heavily controlled. Mises instead treats many forms of concentration as temporary, conditional, or caused by state intervention rather than by free exchange itself. He also addresses inequality in a sociological way, asking what social function wealth serves and how it is sustained. His conclusion is that market wealth is not a static class entitlement, but a moving consequence of serving consumer needs better than rivals. This topic is distinct from the calculation argument. It is not only that socialism cannot allocate resources efficiently, but also that the standard moral and political indictment of capitalism often rests on faulty assumptions about how market power arises and persists. Fourthly, why social reform through intervention often weakens the market process. Mises devotes significant attention to reform measures such as social security, labor legislation, and related interventionist policies. His view is not that every reform is identical to socialism, but that interventions often produce unintended consequences by distorting the market process they are meant to improve. When wages, prices, employment conditions, or welfare arrangements are imposed without regard to underlying incentives, the result can be reduced flexibility, weaker capital formation, and less effective service to consumers. He sees interventionism as unstable because each fix creates new imbalances that invite further controls. This is a major practical theme of the book once policy departs from market coordination. Officials must substitute more commands for the information that prices would otherwise provide. In that sense, reform does not remain a neutral correction. It can gradually push the economy toward administrative allocation. Mises uses this line of argument to show how well-intentioned policies can undermine the very prosperity and mass consumption they aim to secure. Lastly, collectivism as a broader social doctrine, not only an economic program, the book is broader than a technical critique of socialism as an economic system. Mises treats collectivism as a wide intellectual and cultural tendency that shapes views on history, politics, morality, and social organization. He connects socialist planning to wider claims about historical destiny, the role of the state, nationalism, and the proper scope of individual choice. This is why the work often feels like an analysis of civilization rather than a narrow policy tract. Mises insists that economic institutions cannot be separated from political liberty if production is centrally directed. Individual autonomy is also reduced because control over resources becomes control over life choices. He also explores the implications of self-determination and property rights, suggesting that social cooperation is easier and less coercive when ownership is private and the state is limited to protecting rights. By framing socialism as part of a larger collectivist mentality, the book explains why debates about planning are also debates about freedom, authority, and the social order. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically important critique of socialism from within classical liberal and Austrian economic thought. Economists, students of political economy, historians of ideas, and readers interested in the intellectual origins of modern debates about planning, markets, and state intervention will find it especially valuable. Its main benefit is not only that it argues against socialism, but that it explains why market prices matter as a coordinating mechanism and why central planners cannot easily replace them. That gives the book lasting relevance beyond the specific political controversies of its era. It also stands out from shorter anti-socialist works because it combines economic theory with sociology, political philosophy, and a broader critique of collectivist assumptions. Readers who want a compact slogan against socialism may find it demanding, but readers who want a foundational analysis of how complex economies function will find it unusually rich. Compared with many later summaries, Mises's book remains distinctive for the depth of its logic and the scope of its argument. If you would like to support Ludwig von Mises, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.